Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the 99th episode of Geek Tyrant Weekly. The next time we do this, we will be episode 100. And for episode 100, we are all going to give our top 5 favorite films of all time and top 5 favorite TV shows of all time.
It's going to be a long podcast. I feel like we should start it earlier.
Yeah, I think we should definitely start it earlier.
That's fine with me.
I have completed my list, and I will not reveal what I have on it yet.
Are we going reverse?
Because if I do, that just doesn't make any sense.
We're going 5-1, right?
We have to go.
Yeah.
5-1.
Yeah. We build up. That's how we do it.
Okay.
We keep the good stuff towards the end.
Okay.
So
it's interesting. I have some really weird stuff in my 3-5 range, and some of the
other. I think you guys are going to be like, what the hell?
I'm really looking forward to it then, because it'd be boring if everybody had the same stuff. Yeah. So.
But hey, these are personal favorites.
We're not saying these are like the best films ever made. We're just saying these are films we enjoy watching all the time, I guess, right?
Yeah,
or just that old
rule that like if you stumble across it on cable, you drop whatever you're doing and continue watching it from that point or something, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm your host, Dr. Venkman, and joining us today on the panel are Mazer.
What's up, kids? Stay away from social media games.
You've been playing too much Angry Birds, Mazer?
No, I'm playing a bunch of different games. I like games and just how simple they are sometimes and sometimes how complex. Whenever I start to break down and think about what is actually fun in a game, they're no longer fun. So whenever I want to get unaddicted to a game, I start analyzing it.
Did you see the little comic we posted on the site today with how Tron Legacy should have been, where it's got Garrett Hedlund's character Sam Flynn farming land in Farmville?
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I think I've told you guys before that I joined up Farmville and played like maybe once or twice, and it's so boring. I just can't waste time on it. I don't know how that game is popular.
Let's not alienate the Farmville fans.
I'm not. I'm just saying it's not for me.
I'm currently playing it.
I'm just saying it's not for me. I can't do it. I
jumped in and started doing a bunch of research for something we're working on the side, but. Yeah, the first week it was I didn't see how this game was any good.
I barely have time to play like the video games I want to play.
Although Zynga came out with a new game that combines Farmville isn't really, I would say, addicting, but I loved SimCity. I don't know if you guys ever played that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope.
Their newest one is Cityville, which is like Farmville meets SimCity. Yeah,
I played Sim Farm back in the day too. So,
Sim Farm. This is the thing. Like with all of these games, these quote social games, they're quite literally games that we loved from 10 years ago. But instead of you hitting end turn, you just have to wait the next day.
I think we should invent a social network game called Christmas Tree Butcher, and it's. People cutting down Christmas trees all year long for the holidays.
I'm not sure I get the point of that game.
And then you sell your fictional trees for real money at the end of the year.
Then you start up tree shops all over the world and you sell your trees. It's brilliant. And then you can do the same thing with growing pumpkins for Halloween.
There you go.
And making Cadbury chocolate cream-filled Easter eggs for Easter.
I don't know if you should be letting out all these secrets, Van.
Yeah, stop giving away the good stuff.
All right, I'll keep it to myself. Anyway, we got off track on there. Ben P's with us. Hello, Ben.
Thank you for the love of God. How's it going, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Excellent.
Doing good. P Vader's in the house, obviously.
What up?
Yep. Right on. And then Tiberius is joining us.
I am here on the East Coast, but I am awake and happy to be here. That's all I have to say.
You are awake. What time is it there?
It's 12:21 a.m.
That's good. I will probably not be hitting the sack at that time. I don't know. I don't even need to get into my sleeping patterns. So we're just going to move on to the box office numbers.
Sounds good.
Why?
The top five for this week at the box office. Disney's Tangled came in at $21.6 million. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows came in at number two at $17 million. Burlesque came in at 6.1. Unstoppable came in at number four at 5.9. Love and Other Drugs, it's hanging in there, the top five at 5.6. And I'm going to drop down to number nine on this list because it's a movie that recently came out first week. Not many theaters, only came out in like, 1,500 theaters or something like that. The Warrior's Way, which is one of the movies I saw this weekend, came in at $3 million. And then I'm going to go ahead and drop down even further to number 13. With the Black Swan, which opened up in only 18 theaters but brought in $1.4 million, which is really quite good for only being in 18 movie theaters across the country. So that's your top 5, 9, and 13. And now we will move on to our game. It's not really new now. We've been doing it for a while, Connect 3. I've got it this week, and I'm just going to jump right into this madness and see if you guys can guess what I'm going for here. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Hugo Weaving, Jake Gyllenhaal, Sam Neill.
Peter Jackson.
No.
Ang Lee.
No. Do you need a clue?
I'm the only one who's guessed.
The Wachowskis.
No.
No.
Keanu Reeves.
No.
I can go all day.
Here's a clue. It's a director.
Okay. I was Spielberg. On the right track, actually.
Not Spielberg.
I mean, we've already gone through three directors, so...
Gyllenhaal.
Actually, yeah.
Hugo Weaving, Jake Gyllenhaal, Sam Neill.
Joe Johnston.
Yes. Ben T. Number one.
I told him the answer.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Here is number two. Christian Bale. John Malkovich. Ben Stiller.
Ooh, that's a crazy connection there.
Is it?
It seems like it.
It is.
Helen Mirren. It is.
No.
Will Ferrell.
No. I don't know how you came up with that.
Zoolander.
No. Zoolander.
Could you repeat the three again? Sorry.
Christian Bale. John Malkovich, Ben Stiller.
David O. Russell?
Nope. Ben Stiller is the wild card in this one, I think. Because not many people really know or remember that he's in this movie. He was young.
Colin Hanks.
No. Colin Hanks.
It's a movie? Okay.
Newsies?
Yeah, I just gave a hint.
So it's not Newsies.
Zero Effect. No.
Oh, I know what it is. Empire of the Sun.
Yes.
That is a great film.
It is. It is. Mazer takes it.
Ben Stiller was in that?
Yeah. Yep. And it's so weird when you see him in it.
It is weird. He looks completely different. completely different. It's almost like facial reconstructive surgery after that movie.
Mostly the teeth. I'll say it's mostly the teeth.
Well, I'm just I think I might have overdid it with the facial reconstruction thing. That's okay. Okay.
Wow.
Here is the third and final, number three. Here we go. Men in Black 2. Lords of Dogtown. Big Trouble.
Tim Allen.
No.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yes. Nice. I figured that would be easy. Mazur wins the game today. How does it feel, Mazur, to be a winner?
It feels like every day.
Yeah, pretty normal, I would guess.
All right. Well, maybe if we had a cash prize, that would be a little bit better. Like, I don't know.
Not even a cash prize. Just give a prize of a bag of Skittles. I'll take it.
I'll give you a Geek Tyrant shirt.
And there we go.
They're at my house.
You don't have any of those.
No. I don't have like 100 right to the left of me.
But the listeners can purchase them at geektyrant.me.
Yeah.
That is true. And thank you for plugging that.
We dropped the price, by the way. Just check them out online. So.
Yeah, we did drop the price. You know, it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Check it out. So we're going to move on and talk about some of the reviews this week of movies that we've seen. We've got Tron Legacy that we're going to talk about. I'm sure you're all interested in hearing what we have to say about that. We're going to talk about The Warrior's Way, because a couple of us saw that this weekend, and the season finale of The Walking Dead, because I'm interested to hear what all of you think about that, because I said it was awesome, and then Ben tweeted me saying, oh, I don't know. I really didn't like it that much.
Man, you make me out to be this curmudgeon, and I feel like I'm gaining that reputation. But
I didn't mean to make it sound like that. I was just, I'm sorry if I offended you.
No, it's fine, because it's funny because, well, people are going to see in just a minute that same kind of sentiment is going to be displayed with Tron Legacy, but we'll get to that.
Oh, man.
So let's leave Tron Legacy for the last thing, because I think we're probably going to talk to that in depth a little bit.
Yep.
So let's start off with The Warrior's Way, which I saw this weekend, and I know Tiberius saw it. Did anyone else see it?
I got a chance to check it out, yes.
He was a legend, born on the battlefield. I have made you the strongest of all my warriors. An assassin so dangerous, no army could defeat him. Until the day
you must kill the last of their clan.
He refused his mission.
He may burn his past, but he will pay for this betrayal.
Welcome to the eighth wonder of the world.
You're gonna fit right in with the rest of us outcasts.
I knew what you was from the get-go. I can smell the blood.
I must go, or you will all be in danger.
Fellas like you and me, we don't run. Ninjas. Damn.
Very cool.
I don't know when I'm going to watch it, but I plan to at some point.
Well, I will start off the review by saying, yes, go check it out. It was just a ton of fun. It's, you know, it's not your Oscar winning performance movie with a story that, you know, is going to, and it's nothing crazy, but it is crazy. It's nothing like really, really good. Like if you're, I don't know.
They are establishing a new genre, ninja westerns.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. But I do know that I liked the movie, and I enjoyed it immensely. Like, I would go see it again.
Wow. Okay.
I just, you know, it was incredibly cheesy, But the movie knew what it was. It didn't try to be anything like that it wasn't.
Right. No, I think you're right. I think, you know, I absolutely agree, and I had a lot of fun with it too. I think that was the biggest difference between this and Faster, which was another movie that came out recently that also kind of tried to go for this B-movie vibe, but just didn't. Like, it, Faster took itself so seriously that it wasn't any fun, and The Warrior's Way just completely kicks seriousness and like in the face and rips its teeth out and just like slices it with a sword. Like, it's absolutely,
it draws blood.
Yeah,
literally.
I mean, it's insane. Like, everything from like the plot and what happens, which is just, you know, a complete rip of every Western you've ever seen mixed with every revenge movie you've ever seen, but also shot on that kind of green screen look that is like, I think, the people at Pajiba.com, I always thought it was Pajiba.com, but apparently it's actually pronounced Pajiba.
I thought it was Pajama, so.
they wrote a review of it, and I didn't actually read the review, but their headline was something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, of like Sergio Leone mixed with Frank Miller's gay love child. Like, that's what this movie is. Like, something like that, you know? Just because of the whole, like, story aspects and then, like, the look of it, too. So, Tiberius, I'm interested. What did you think about it?
I really, one word for you, just eye candy. Eye candy and lots of it. I really am so glad that they did not go with 3D on this, and they easily could have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad that they didn't, and, you know, that's one of the selling points for me going to see this film. And I had plenty of other choices. I haven't been to the theater in a while, and I chose to see this. And I agree with you, Venkman. I would see this again and pay for it and not sneak in after seeing another movie. I would definitely see this again. Just everything about it, the blood spurting out of the necks during some of the scenes, and my, you know, and one second I'm chuckling at one thing, and then the next time I'm like, my mouth is agape from, you know, the awesomeness of that scene and the choreography and the high flying acrobatics and, you know, things that are completely impossible. But that's the thing, I wanted to be transported into a different world and not have to think about anything.
It's a Western with ninjas, so. Exactly. If that doesn't draw you to the movie, I don't know what will, because just the concept alone is something that I, you know, that spoke to me when I first heard about this movie. A Western with ninjas, I have to see it. Well, I don't know what the story is. I don't care. I'm gonna go watch,
like,
this movie.
The big difference between, I mean, because to be fair, for people listening to this who know almost nothing about the Warrior's Way, if you describe it as a Western with ninjas, they might be kind of thinking of one of those movies from The Asylum, you know, one of those kind of knockoff, like, versus giant octopod, or, you know, just like ridiculous amalgamations of creatures, and basically like a glorified sci-fi original movie. And this
some better production value.
Right.
It's got Jeffrey Rush in it.
Yeah.
As this old school rundown drunk cowboy sniper guy that's an interesting character, and Kate Bosworth is in it.
Danny Houston's character. I don't know. He is so good at playing a bad guy, but this one, I don't know. Just he was really a perfect addition to this ensemble cast, and if I can call it that, I guess. I mean, it's an eclectic group of people that they brought together really into this film, and I don't know. Danny Houston continually is able to be. I don't know. He just is eerily bad, and he's good at doing that.
And the thing is they take the villain character, the badness of this film, to a ridiculous level of, like, you know, we're sitting here saying it's like it doesn't take itself seriously, but if you see what the villains do in this movie, it's like, that's a pretty serious subject matter. but they do it in a way where it's like,
yeah, it's like cartoonishly evil. It's like mustache twirling. It's like like one of those Snidely Whiplash things, but like R-rated, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? you know what, Ben? I read your review that you posted on the other site on Filmonic. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, good. Well, I read the review and I liked your comparison to Shoot 'Em Up and other films. Am I? You know, did I get that right? Did you do that? Did you mention that?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that I really noticed that, and just one of the sequences that really blew me away, literally, was that Gatling, you know, that minigun or that old school Gatling style gun that was handheld. Just any sequence that was used. And in fact, we showed a clip of that, you know, one of the clips that they released the day of the film being released, that was just amazing with that. And there's some slow motion sequences as well that is just enough of the, you know, that's enough of a reason to see that on the big screen
There was a hilarious part in that movie. I couldn't help but just start laughing during the film where the guy, one of the cowboys, takes the Gatling gun and puts it on the shoulder right next to the head of this guy sitting on his knees and just starts, you know, shooting the Gatling gun right on this guy's head near
that
his
guy
ear.
That guy is death, is what I thought. Like,
this guy is so ridiculous, but it was so cool.
Yeah, that was cool. That was.
So, yeah, I definitely recommend you go out and see this movie on the big screen. If it's playing in your area when you get a chance, it's worth it. It's worth it.
I think there's going to be a sequel to it as well.
I hope so.
I honestly can.
I would see the sequel in the theaters, but I don't feel comfortable telling people to go pay money to see this in theaters. I really, like, I did dig the hell out of this movie. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to, but I think they're fine with, like, waiting for DVD on it. That's just me. I would say, especially if you're into video games, you'll probably dig this movie, because the main character is essentially like a silent video game star where you just
silent
get to live
assassin.
Out you just get to live out your fantasy of being the hero and having him slash through hundreds of people with little to no injury. And it's like, it's basically like a live action video game. This is one of the better, like, video game adaptations that isn't actually based on a video game, if you get
it. There you go. That's a good way to explain it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I disagree. I think you should see it on the big screen for that very fact. Because, I mean, seeing it on any home screen, even if it's a projection system that you might have, that might be comparable. But most people don't have that. I don't have that. I have a pretty good sized TV, but still, I would much rather see it on the big screen and through their stereo systems that they have there. That's just my feeling on it.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah.
So. Awesome. All right. So this last Sunday, The Walking Dead had its season finale. What'd you guys think? Well, why don't we start with you, Ben?
Okay.
No, I'm serious. I want to know what you thought. I want to know. I'm really interested.
Okay. I thought it was a little anticlimactic. I thought that it had been building up to some, like, you know, maybe some event. Like, with as serious as this series has been so far, I thought they were going to take it to a different level, and I feel like a lot of the episode was just kind of wasted in the CDC, with them just kind of like living it up with the amenities that they have there. I guess we should go ahead and throw up like a spoiler warning for the finale, just so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the finale of Walking Dead, just skip ahead until the next part of the podcast when we talk about something else. But you know, they're just kind of like living it up, whatever. And like, as the audience, we know that's not how the season is going to end. We know something is going to happen. But the thing that did happen, I just didn't feel like it had enough weight to it to justify being the finale. I don't know. I mean, I understand.
I understand that. I can understand your point of view on that.
I was hearing a lot of people complaining about the grenade suddenly appearing. You know, and being like, oh, that's convenient. You remember when the girl pulls the grenade out and gives it to them so they can blow their way out at the very end?
Yes.
I think, and that was actually, they showed earlier in the season that that girl had that grenade early on. So that I don't really see what the
issue is. Yeah.
People complain.
Yeah, yeah. There's no issue there.
That's just a small thing. I think overall, I mean, I like the series. I was kind of hoping for I don't remember the character's name, but he was the guy with the son that Rick met in the first episode.
Yes. I don't know who he is either.
I don't remember what his name was, but I really should look that up or something. I might do that while you guys are talking. But I wanted to see him and the kid again, because the past couple episodes had also been hinting at the fact that Rick was trying to get a hold of them and he was supposed to be meeting them in Atlanta and all this stuff. And then we just never saw anything from that, which, you know, is good because the series has been renewed for a second season. And I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, immediately after the premiere, which did really, really well. So the writers, to be fair, knew what they were doing ahead of time. They had plenty of time to alter the story and know and that character will probably come back in season two. I just, on a personal level, liked that character a lot because I really loved the premiere and I just wanted to see him again. But that, I've been talking for too long. So, P. Vader, why don't you tell me what you thought?
I guess my opinions kind of lie in the same sort of line as yours. You know, the whole pace of the show, if you've watched it from the beginning, first episode, has kind of slowed. There was kind of like a peak or another peak in like episode 4 or something. But in general, the pace of the show, I think, has kind of slowed. And I thought maybe, yeah, they might pick it up with this finale. I kind of expected to see the dude and his kid as well. And I think I even made a comment to you before it started. I was kind of like, yeah, they gotta show him.
Yeah, that's I mean, you reminded me of it while we were watching. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Credit where credit's due. That was your
well, whatever
observation.
But I mean, to me, I just thought it was. I thought he was either gonna like show up as a dead zombie or something, or you know, save the day somehow. And I think it would have been pretty cool to have him dig him out of that jam, and get them at CDC somehow.
Yeah, but you're right. I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Instead of the grenade, that would have been great if he had been on the exterior. He had made it there safely, he and his son, and somehow, you know, blew the window open to get them out. You know,
that would have been cool. I agree. That would have been pretty cool to see.
But, you know, yeah, it's definitely, you know, still worth keeping track next season to see where the story goes. I just, you know, I guess I was expecting something different. Not something necessarily better, just different.
All right. Yeah. Well, I liked the episode. I was happy with the way it ended. I didn't really look into alternative ways it could have ended, like kind of what we're talking about now. Listening to your guys' point of view of it, though, yeah, that kind of stuff would have been cool. But I enjoyed it for what it was. I will say it wasn't the best episode of the six.
No, I agree.
But knowing that we are going to get a second season and that there's 13 more episodes coming, I can live with how it ended, because they only had 6 episodes to work with. Had they had 13, I'm sure the season probably wouldn't end. Obviously, it would have ended much more differently.
Yeah.
So for having only 6 episodes, I think it was fine, and I'm happy with. Can't really complain. I'm happy with the way it ended, knowing that the story will continue and all these things that we have no idea what's happening with will be eventually be revealed to us. So
I looked up the character's name, and it's Morgan, by the way.
Okay.
So just wanted to throw that out there. Mazer, do you watch it, right?
Yeah, I watch it. You know, something to me is it doesn't feel like a season finale at all. It just feels like a mid-season break.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like I'm missing anything or anything like that. I just wonder, you know, some Battlestar Galactica had like this mini series. I think maybe was it 6 episodes also or something like 4, and they came back with the full series, and I wonder how this is gonna feel when they come back and they do 13 episodes. Are you gonna go, wow, this is a lot of The Walking Dead? And I wonder if, because we had talked, you guys talked about how earlier there was this more frenetic, faster pace, and things just slowed down a lot. And I wonder if they'll be able to pick up the pace, or if we'll get an even slower show if we have 13 episodes or 12 episodes. Or
see, I didn't find the show. I'm sorry, I didn't find the show slow at all. Really, I mean, yeah, I understand that there were definitely arcs and up and down, but I did not find it slow. Maybe it's just me. I found it very, I don't know, very much more than what I wanted it to be. It shouldn't just be about bloodshed, zombies, or, you know, bloodshed and all that kind of stuff. It's much more than that. And that's something that really is what's successful about it, because fans can relate to the characters. They can, you know, they can understand their struggle to survive. And at the same time, there's a lot of bloodshed that keeps horror fans like myself tuning in each week. But I think with 13 episodes, there's going to be some times where people are going to say, oh, it's too slow, or it's, they're going too fast. How are they going to make this last for the 13 episodes? So no matter what they do, there's going to be people that are going to complain about a grenade showing up at the last, you know, frequently or, you know, throughout the thing. But realistically, it's an amazing show. Bar none, it's one of my favorite shows that's been on in a long time.
I think that it'll be interesting to see the evolution of the show, because, like, seemingly they'll always have the same problem. You know, like, the problem will never change. They're always going to have to be running from these zombies. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they kind of evolve that problem, if it still exists, you know, at certain points in the show.
Yeah.
Well, if you think of every single George Romero zombie film, you know, if you really were to think of and watch them all together, you would basically see, you know, a major zombie outbreak or attack, things cooling down for a bit, and them settling in at the end, only to have to, you know, run for their lives again, and yeah, so forth and so on. So yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, yeah, this season was the CDC. The next season, you know, obviously they're going to be running for their lives, trying to find some form of shelter or, you know, regular semblance to what life can be like, and try to rebuild. I think a big factor of the show will be interesting to see. Yeah, there's always going to be people to kill, and zombies to kill. But the fact is, they're going to still have to rebuild. And I think that's going to be just as interesting. You know, it's an apocalyptic, you know, sense of reality, and them having to come back from that. And I think that's just as compelling of a show as what we're seeing right now, in my mind. But
I tend to agree. There's one other thing that I wanted to say that I really liked about this season was that they did not address that Rick did not find out that Shane and Lori were sleeping together. Because I think that's going to be.
I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, that's going to be a big source of drama and conflict and stuff as the series goes on. And I'm glad they didn't kind of all try to cram everything into the first season.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Such a short run with this first season, so I'm happy they didn't do that.
Nice. All right, now on to the big review. We had the opportunity to go see Tron Legacy this last week.
I promised you that if I ever got any information about your dad, I'd tell you first, right? I was paged last night. Came from your dad's office at the arcade.
So?
So, the number's been disconnected for 20 years. Two nights before he disappeared, he came to my house. He said he was about to change everything. Science, medicine, religion. You wouldn't have left that, Sam. He wouldn't have left you.
Alan, you're acting like I'm gonna find him sitting there working. Just, hey, kiddo, lost track of time.
Wouldn't that be something?
It was me, Mazer, P. Vader, and Ben P. And let's get right into it. Spoiler-free review, because we know the movie's coming out. No one's seen it yet, so let's keep the spoilers on the down low. And let's just kind of talk about our initial reactions of the movie. Everyone good?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, so it's been a few days since I saw it, and I loved the movie when I first saw it in the theaters. I thought it was great. It lived up to the expectations that I had built up for it. So I'm not disappointed at all in what I saw. Sure, there were a few little things here and there that kind of bugged me, but because the movie looked cool and it just entertained me all the way through it, I can't really hold that stuff against it, really. I just kind of like let it slide. I'm not going to be a nitpicky, you know,
son of a gun.
I'm not going to be a nitpicky son of a gun when it comes to that stuff, because I really enjoyed the movie and thought and just had so much fun watching it. I was totally immersed in the world of Tron from beginning to end. I was never really pulled out of the story or in what was going on. And I just, it's one of those films that I just was able to sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride for what it was. So yeah, I had a blast. I had an absolute blast watching this movie, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again. And the more that I think about it, the more I've kind of dwelled on having seen it, the more excited I get about seeing it again, and the more I like the movie, if that makes any sense. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, man, I really like that part. That part was awesome. So it's continually, even after having seen the film, it's still building up in my mind as being a really awesome movie that I want to see again. So, Mazer.
Yes.
Any further thoughts, sir?
You know, I came – there was my two most anticipated films this – was it – did Inception come out this year?
It did, yes.
Okay. It's been a very long year for me. yeah, it was Inception and Tron. And Inception is – I love that film. And Tron, I love this film as well. I would say the biggest thing for Tron – is setting your expectations to determine how much you enjoy the film. Having seen all the art and everything, I was super excited for the film. The music is super awesome. And I love the original film. Having watched this and sitting back and reading other people's reactions and stuff like that, I feel like they're completely valid opinions. But for me, I just had a lot of fun watching it. And every time someone asks me, what did you think? I tell them the first thing I say is, you have to watch this in 3D.
Yeah, yeah. You must watch it in 3D.
Yeah. And if you can watch it in IMAX, do it, just because the sound is amazing. I think we had a video posted today or is it yesterday that just talks about the sound of Tron,
yeah,
and the music and all those kind of things. And you're just like, this is one of those few films that you can do completely insane things just like they are with the visuals and get away with it, because it's a world completely pulled away from reality that allows you to do some of these more creative things. Story-wise, I feel like it's a bit – if you think of the original Tron, the story is completely ridiculous, and the ending is, you know, Kevin jumping into a red cylinder and all sorts of visuals and stuff like that. And you're just like, that film was crazy. How did that film come out of Disney? And to see Tron Legacy, I feel like that's almost the same thing. You're like, how did this type of film come out of Disney? But having seen what they've done with Pirates and stuff like that, it feels like Disney is opening up what they are doing. But I'm just rambling at this point.
I'll take it from there, I guess. I'm kind of right there with you guys. I would say I definitely agree with Mazur in that you have to see this movie in theaters in 3D. Preferably in IMAX. Visually and stylistically, you know, like the lighting and the music, Tron kind of stands apart from just about everything you've out there.
We all keep talking about the music and the visuals, and I just want to reiterate that the combination of those two things is explosive in this movie, and it's epic and huge, and it's just awesome when you see the two combined together. Yeah. I loved it. Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, me and Ben P were kind of discussing this, and that it's kind of interesting the look that the 80s gave the future back in the 80s. It's obviously incorrect, but now it's kind of like a retro futuristic look, which I think is that much more cooler when you pair it with like the Daft Punk score. And that, yes, you're right, Venkman. They just work like really well together. I think, Mazur, I'll kind of, you know, jump in there with you. Story-wise, it may not be like incredibly, I don't know. There are some elements that you've seen before in the story, but I think altogether it kind of worked for me. I can't be too harsh on it just because I really enjoyed the film that much. And definitely getting back to like the stylistic points, if you're looking at buying a 3D television, I would say this is like the first movie you should buy for it. Before Avatar, if we're making those comparisons. But getting back to the story, I won't say it's like disappointing, but it's not as maybe grand as the sort of stage it's set on.
I will say that the story is comparable to like a animated Saturday morning cartoon.
I wouldn't say animated Saturday morning. I would say anime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
I would say the story has more akin with anime in terms of the ending of the film and all sorts of other things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I can go with that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
It's a live action cartoon that's got a lot of animation in it.
Yeah. And the story is still enjoyable. Like, I still enjoyed it. I'm not going to even try to say I didn't. But, you know, it's maybe, you know, here and there you'll recognize some things. And Jeff Bridges is great again.
Jeff Bridges, I thought, stole the show.
Yeah.
Especially with his, you know, there were scenes in the movie where he's got that ninth, you know, the 60s, like, hey, yeah, like man.
The, like the
know,
goofball or, substitute teacher that we've all had.
In my review, I said that there were points in the film where he harnessed the dude, you know? And he brings the dude into the world of Tron, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was definitely fun to see.
There's some great dialogue in there. Just these fun little one-liners. I've got some of them written down. I was just going to say, I know you're taking notes during the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think you have some of those, which were just awesome.
One of the ones that Bridges said was, "It's biodigital jazz, man." And the other one was, "You're messing with my Zen thing, man." Like, he says man after sentences, just like the dude. Drew McWeeny at HitFix in his review wrote that that Kevin Flynn was Obi-Wan Lebowski, which I thought was
nice.
So yeah, Bridges was definitely entertaining. I kind of had an issue. I kind of took a little bit of an issue with the way that they did that. I thought they did it a little bit overkill, because actually, if you remember, if you go back and watch the original Tron, that's kind of what Kevin Flynn is like as a character.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He almost is a precursor to the dude in some ways, but I feel like they they took it one step a bit too far in this.
They had fun with it, is what they did. You're like, dude, this is great. I love, you know. Yeah, I think they just had a lot of fun with it.
I mean, our audience was laughing at some of those lines, and I don't necessarily think they were laughing with
really?
Kevin. I think they were kind
of. I was laughing with. I thought it was great.
For some of them, sure, and yeah, I was too. But like on like the third or fourth time that he says man in like this kind of pot smoker like voice or whatever, I'm like, okay, like this is getting a little bit too self-referential to stuff
he's
that
high on,
happen inside this movie, but
he's high on digital technology, man.
Biodigital jazz, man. Yeah, I guess I'll just really quickly say what I thought, and then maybe we can ask Tiberius if he wants to ask us anything before, without spoiling it. I like the movie, and I definitely, you know, I mirror all of your sentiments about definitely seeing 3D, all that stuff. I just, for a movie that looked so amazing from the onset, you know, from the footage debuted at Comic-Con 2 years ago, right? I was expecting a story that matched that, that was comparable to those amazing visuals, and I just didn't get it in this movie. That's, you know, maybe it'll be kind of a Dark Knight scenario where possibly this story in the second film will just kind of blow it out of the water, and it'll keep those visuals, and maybe that's the kind of pairing that I was hoping for. I just didn't necessarily find it here. I think the world itself is just so gorgeously rendered that almost excuses the plot, just not 100% for me. So I liked the movie. It was a good movie. I'm just not going to put this in like my favorite movies of the year, I don't think. Although if we're talking about just visuals alone, then absolutely yes. So
it's not going to be on your list of one of your favorite films.
It might
time.
Be like number. No, it won't be on.
I'm just joking.
For episode 100, if you'll allow me, and I realize this is ridiculously self-promotional, but I want to try to do it anyway. If you guys don't care, I just want to read one thing that I wrote in my review. Are you guys cool?
No, that's fine. Go for it.
Okay. Boo. Yeah. Okay. I wrote the world of the grid is a good metaphor for the film itself. It's sleek, sexy, gorgeous to look at, and unlike anything we've seen before. But it's also cold, harsh, and unforgiving. A world made up solely of ones and zeros, incapable of convincing anyone that a heart beats inside its mechanical chest. So I think, you know, it's one of those things where like the world just, it looks so amazing and it pulls you in. And like that's the cool part about this movie too, is it's shot in 2D for the opening scene, and then jumps into 3D when you enter the grid, and that is just, you know, one more thing that kind of pulls you into that world. But I just don't think there's enough there by way of the characters and like their individual kind of arcs and the heart of the movie. I just don't think is enough to match up to the visuals, but that's just me.
I think that if this is gonna indeed be like a four movie franchise, I think it's kind of I think it's a good intro to the franchise. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good tee up, right? It's a
yeah,
good...
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but I feel like we can't give it a pass for doing that. I feel like each movie has to stand on its own. That's the problem that P. Vader and I have had with the Pirates movies. I mean, we talk about that all the time in our off time when we're just rambling about movie franchises. And P. Vader brings this up all the time, that he considers Pirates 2 and 3, if you consider those as one movie, then the entire franchise becomes a little bit more enjoyable. But if you just look at them as individual films, they're not really that great movies, you know? And it's the same thing with the Matrix movies.
Matrix,
like,
yeah.
If you look at 2 and 3 together, it becomes a little bit more bearable. But I just don't feel comfortable giving the movie a pass because it looks cool and the sound is amazing and the score and all these things you guys have said, which are totally true, but the story, just because it's the first in a series, I can't like in good conscience be like, okay, I understand that and am willing to excuse these flaws on every level just because I know that there's going to be a sequel to it. But that's,
I'm not, you know, the movie does have its flaws. I will say that I thought the movie was too short.
Too short.
I would have liked to see it continue. I wanted to see more. I wanted to see more I think if the movie had an extra half hour on it,
I don't even think that. I feel like if it had an extra 5 minutes for there to be a payoff, or for there to be this, oh, what does that mean type of moment for, like, you know, the next film.
Well, see, what I'm thinking about is if they would have gave it that extra 30 minutes, it could have rounded out the story a little bit better. We could have got a little bit more information on some characters.
The film was 2 hours and like 10 minutes, right?
Well, I could have used an extra half hour. I'm just saying. I wasn't bored in the movie at all. So.
Although with how much happens in this and how fast it is, didn't it feel like it was only an hour and a half?
The movie felt short. The movie, I thought so anyway, that it was just incredibly fast paced and it flies by, which is why I'm saying I could have sat through another half hour of it just to see things rounded out a little bit better on the story and the characters.
Yeah. Now, something I'm just realizing that, the first Matrix had this whole type of philosophy thing and the nature of reality, and then the second and third film didn't even have that. It was suddenly an action film, and you didn't have these types of questions. The first Tron had, you know, life inside the computer. It had, you know, look at this. It's a digital world inside your computer. These things were unimaginable. Now we have the digital world in your phone, in your pocket, and I think the amazement has been completely removed. So I think Tron's failing is the fact that it wasn't able to come up with that next amazing wow, or that next question, or that, you know, Inception type dream within a dream within a dream, time dilation type twist that allows you to really make new types of storytelling.
That is 100% my biggest issue with this movie, and I'm so glad you said that, because you said it better than I could. That's exactly right. That's what I've been trying to figure out how to say about this movie, is that it really does. Like, the first movie deals with these really heavy issues, and this
one's almost like metaphysical.
Right, totally.
What it's talking about. And, like, there's like souls in the computer.
Yeah.
And it was weird.
And this one, like, it updates with the visuals and stuff, but it doesn't translate those themes over at all. Well, it's, like, totally soulless almost.
Well, the thing is, like, they do, but it's those elements are almost only set up to set up the sequel, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If at the end of the film, those types of things could have been hit on within 5 or 10 minutes to go, okay, that's why that's important.
Yeah, or instead even just like letting people, like letting Sam Flynn kind of bask in the glory of the grid a little bit more, because he doesn't really take in what happens, like what he's looking at and stuff. And even maybe if you just give him a couple minutes to consider the implications of what this world might mean if it were what Kevin intended for it, you know, like even that, just touching on those themes a little bit, I think would have been would have done the movie a great service.
And amazing as the grid that we saw in the world is, we never got to really see the grid pre-Clue and his, you know, revolt,
hostile takeover.
Yeah, we got to see the outside of things, but we never got to see what it was like inside.
Yeah,
it would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, that definitely would have been interesting.
But the thing is, like, having read interviews and stuff like that, like, when they set out to make Tron, they said, we need to have Disc Wars, Light Cycles, and Jeff Bridges. Those are their three. That's what they started with. They didn't start with story and things. They started with those three things, and that's what they delivered completely.
Yeah.
But I think if they had their priorities in a different order,
right,
I feel like the story would have been better served.
Yeah, so. It's a movie that definitely feels written around set pieces, that's for sure.
Yeah, which is why we're saying, like, it's going to be that thing you pop in off your 3D TV.
I'm convinced that Michael Sheen's character was written in the film just so they could introduce Daft Punk in the movie.
Yeah.
Because other than that, he really didn't serve a purpose.
Michael Sheen is insane in this movie, by the way.
Yeah. Well, they brought a little bit of the ultra violence into the into the Tron world, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
If you get my reference.
Tiberius.
I'm getting the reference myself, and I haven't even seen it. Okay.
Do you have any questions that you kind of want to throw at us or ask us regarding the movie, since you haven't seen
sure,
it yet?
Sure.
Is there anything that you want to know without, I guess, us spoiling anything for you?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, before I ask anything, let me say one thing, if I can, just from an outsider looking in, hearing the conversation, which was great, by the way, and it's great to hear your insights onto this amazing film. It's going to be great. But let me pose this question to you. If it's a question, comment kind of thing. If the visuals and the sound are so great, which I know they will be, and you have validated that they will be, how, if they're that great and they're such epic things, how is it even possible then to fully make a story up to that same level? I'm just being honest here. I mean, realistically, can you think of other films that have, I mean, yeah, there have been few, but very few that have been able to get up to that same level of epic story, epic visuals, and sound? And I personally don't think that there's been that many on the list that have been able to do that.
I think that's a good question. It takes some incredibly talented individuals. Here we have a first-time feature film director coming in who has a vision, a great vision, but maybe, you know, he's not the best storyteller. Sure, he's got like this great imagination to bring this incredible world to life, but maybe he's not the greatest person to tell an amazing story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just needs a master storyteller to tell the story, I guess,
and
up to that standard.
I think part of that too is on me for having such high expectations for seeing the visuals and just like, but the problem is the world of Tron is perfect for these kinds of metaphysical, to use Mazur's word, like questions that can be presented. That was my issue with the movie. You know, I talked about this a lot with Iron Man 2 earlier this year, was just missed opportunity. And I feel like this movie is far better than Iron Man 2,
yeah,
in my opinion.
yeah.
But I will say,
I agree.
On the one issue where they did miss an opportunity in Tron, I think it was to kind of delve into that deeper territory. So I think if they had done that, then maybe it would have reached that kind of plateau that we're talking about, where the sound, the visuals, and the story maybe evened out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Or at least gave us a little bit more to kind of chew on, aside from just looking gorgeous.
Let's just say probably the perfect film, perfect Tron film, could have come with Joseph Kaczynski's visuals and imagination and style. But if he would have directed it from a script written by, let's say, Christopher and Jonathan Nolan.
I knew that was coming.
Then right there you have this.
Yeah.
Then you know you're going to get this incredible, well-rounded, everything is awesome movie.
Tron,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I just thought up what that question would be for this film. And it would be the same question that's in Blade Runner. And the question would be, just because someone's not human or not, quote, real, does that not make them real?
Exactly.
And is that life important?
Right. Those are things that definitely could have been addressed here.
Yeah, and this film was about human connections and a father-son story, and I mean, we can obviously see where the next story is going to be, and it probably is going to be that Blade Runner question.
Yeah,
put front and center, but it would have been nice to see something in this film. But
yeah,
definitely. I think bottom line, I guess to wrap it up here, we're all recommending to go see this movie, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely go see this movie.
If you're listening to the Geek Tyrant podcast, you're a geek and you probably love Tron.
Yeah.
So that's what you probably don't even care what we think.
That's very, very true.
You just
Seriously, no matter – even if there are negative reviews out there, people that read them are still going to say, well, I'm going to go see it anyway. It's Tron. So yeah.
Everybody's got to see it to form their own opinion. So
I really hope that this movie does well at the box office. So I want it to succeed.
I think without a doubt it's going to succeed.
I want to see a sequel. I want the story to continue.
I also want Joseph Kaczynski to do more stuff. Like, the guy visually is talented. It take very few directors do 3D well.
And here's the thing. It does very well. And just because he didn't tell a good story, like a solidly like incredible, amazing, mind-blowing story in this, doesn't mean he doesn't have the potential to do that. Like I said, he's a first-time director. He's going to go out there. He's going to do more movies, and he's going to learn, and he's going to grow as a director. So who knows what Kaczynski will eventually – what kind of filmmaker Kaczynski will eventually become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he didn't write the movie, you know? He had nothing to do with
it. Exactly, no. So, I don't know who did write the movie.
It was Adam Horowitz and Edward Kitsis, who actually were writers and exec producers on Lost.
Okay. Hmm. So there you have it. Go out and see the movie. Any other questions, Tiberius?
No, you know what? Okay. To be honest, I'm keeping myself a blank slate going in. I'm not going to get my expectations as high. I wasn't there at Comic-Con. I've never attended Comic-Con. So, you know, I wasn't there firsthand to get my excitement built up. And, you know, I've been a fan of Tron since I saw it in theaters, the original. So regardless, I'm going to be there.
That's a good way to go in.
Yeah, definitely. So go out, see the movie. We're all 100% agreed that, yes, see this movie in IMAX 3D if possible. If not, just 3D. I'm sure 3D's wide release enough that you'll be able to see it, right, guys?
Yeah, if you want to see one, you can get to a theater now.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Post-Avatar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after you see it, come back to this post and leave us a comment. Let us know what you think.
Definitely.
Or read Venkman's review on the site and let us know what you think of it.
Yeah, definitely. We kind of went like way over time just with these reviews. We usually go into some geek news. I quickly just want to touch base on a couple little TV matters that I thought just I want to just touch on, like Terriers being canceled.
Oh, no.
Boo.
I know. P. Vader and Ben are both very disappointed. And I'm sorry. I have to apologize. I still have not seen a single episode of this. I've been keeping them on DVR, but I haven't watched them yet.
Dude.
I think just to say a little bit, not anything big, because, you know, we've kind of exhausted this issue on the millions of podcasts that we're on.
but now it's just come to an end. So
yeah.
We got to close the doors on it.
I think just to say, you know, I can agree with FX's decision. They really had no choice based on its poor performance. But I feel like in a couple years, the show isn't like Firefly, but the discussions about it are going to be similar to that, I think, the same way people talk about Firefly, they'll be talking about this show.
It's funny because Damon Lindelof, who is one of the kind of co-creators of Lost, said that same thing in a tweet the day that it got canceled. He said, "Cancellation sucks, but people are still going to be talking about Terriers in 10 years." So,
okay.
So there you go. And with the death of one new series comes the life of another. Dexter has been renewed for a sixth season, which is awesome. If you're watching Dexter, then you know how great that is.
Venkman, have you been watching this season?
Hells yeah.
I just caught up last night, and it is phenomenal. I love it.
I know. I was so scared you were going to lead it up to the point where you're like, I hate it.
No. And again, you know, we're going long, so I'll keep it super short. But if you're if you like Dexter or have seen maybe the first season and stopped watching it, season five is my favorite season outside of the first. So that's how much I really like what they've done this year.
Nice.
John,
yeah, I'm excited.
John Lithgow was great last season, but I really, really love what they've done with it this season.
I love Julia Stiles' character in this, and I really, 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 really hope that she carries into the next season, because she adds such a new, different dynamic to everything that I don't want to see her go.
Honestly, I haven't even thought about that, but yes, I kind of hope that that happens as well.
So, well, I guess we'll find out. I'm going to be pissed if they kill her off, though. After surviving all that, just to, like,
Maybe we'll do, like, a season and wrap-up or something in one of the upcoming podcasts.
We will.
Podcasts.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. Other than that, coming soon this week, movies we got coming up this week, Black Swan will be opening up in some more theaters. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out yet, if it's opening up in your area, it's expanding, go out and see it because you're going to love it. Well, I don't know. Maybe you won't. It depends on your style of movie. I loved it, though, so whatever. I want you to go see it. That's what I'm saying.
You and I both saw this a long time ago and still haven't talked about it on this podcast. And
we haven't?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Maybe that's not true. I don't know.
Briefly, I think.
Briefly. I don't think we went in depth on it. We're going to have to wait, obviously, until episode 101 to do that. But that'll give people more of a chance to see it. So.
But other movies coming out this weekend, The Tourist, Johnny Depp, and Angelina Jolie. Looks like an okay movie. I'm not really that excited to see it. It looks like a rental to me, but...
It looks bad to me. It looks really, really bad.
I don't know what's going on there. I don't...
My wife's excited for it, but
it could be
bad.
Like night and day, but just with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie.
The thing is, like, Johnny Depp in this, I don't like the Johnny Depp in this film.
No, I agree with
he
you.
He doesn't seem like a character I want to watch for 2 hours, but I don't know.
Paul Bettany might be the saving grace. He plays I believe, some sort of CIA or some sort of special agent operative that's after the situation, in the situation, in the mix. So he might be a saving grace in that film. I don't know. The soundtrack sounds good. The score, I mean, sounds good. And there's going to be some great visuals probably based on European locales. So those are some good points to it.
Yeah.
All right. And then also The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which
is anyone excited for this?
I will go see it.
Religious groups.
I'm definitely seeing this because The Voyage of the Dawn Treader was my favorite out of those books when I read
it. It was mine too, but I'm watching the trailer and I'm just like, I'm just not excited.
I'm not excited, but I'll see it.
So, yeah.
I for some reason have seen the other two. So.
I have too.
Yeah, I have as well.
I think I'd rather go see another movie that I've already seen again or something. I don't know.
Maybe I'll just rewatch Tron for a third time.
There you go. Really? That's the original?
I mean, Tron Legacy.
All right. There you go. So other than that, we always conclude with telling you to go buy some t-shirts at geektyrant.me and other things that we got for sale. So do that. You can donate at geektyrant.com/donate. You can always subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. We'd appreciate it if you did that and left a review. So we know what you think about what we are doing, and if we can make any improvements, we are open to suggestions. Fan us on Facebook, facebook.com/geektyrantfans, and follow us on Twitter at @geektyrant. And Ben, why don't you plug your awesome podcast?
Thank you, sir. The Not Just New Movies podcast, featured on Geek Tyrant and found at notjustnewmovies.com. You can track that down in iTunes and leave us a review also while you're at it.
It's seriously a great podcast, guys. You should. I honestly think it's better than this one, so check it out.
Wow. That is an insult to what we are doing here, sir.
Because I'm not really that involved with it, so I can sit back, relax, and just enjoy it. You know what I mean?
I appreciate
it. Like, with this one, I'm just like, you know, I'm part of it, which is cool. And I do love what we do here, but it's like one of those outside podcasts that I'm not really that involved with that I just enjoy listening to. So, nice.
Kind words, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes.
And also, Tiberius.
Yes, yes.
Like your website,
thank, Yes, thank you. I also, if you guys don't know, napiersnews.com, facebook.com, Napier's News, and Twitter at Napier's News. But also I wanted to highlight just very briefly Queued Up, which is a new feature on Geek Tyrant and on Napier's News. If you're looking for the latest in DVDs available to purchase, to watch a rent from Netflix, or even instant Netflix, there's some great selections out there and great selections on that list. So be sure to check that feature out on the site.
I actually looked at that today, so it was good stuff.
Yeah, we did have someone covering the DVD releases for us, but she had to leave. And so we just wanted to fill the void and thought this – Tiberius came up with an idea of doing this Queued Up, which is really cool because I'm always wondering what's on. Personally, I'm just always looking for what's on instant Netflix because that's I'm always watching stuff on instant Netflix. So we cover that. We cover Netflix. We cover what's coming out in the stores and everything like that. So definitely, it's definitely good times there. So other than that, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Does anybody have anything else to say to our audience before we just kind of fade out into obscurity? And
thanks for listening. Have a good week.
Yep. All right, everybody. Have a good great, week. Great week. Thank you. We'll be right back.